This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Thank you, Danny, Jeff, and JR. Thank you to Albert Breer. Thank you to all of our listeners and callers. Tony and I back at 7 a.m. tomorrow at Crosstalk, brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing's back at Hawthorne with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for sports betting. Thank you, PointsBet and horse racing. Get in all the action with Hawthorne.
Carmen, you're cool. Pop, 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 pop. What's up, fellas?
Morning.
Hello.
Morning, boys.
Hello, boys.
How are you?
I took all the HD out of my TV, went to black and white after watching the Monday night game because they ran the football under time.
It was like 1947 or something. Yeah. All that.
And Bill Belichick's getting a lot of bouquets thrown at him.
Yeah, he is.
Don't say that to Sean McDermott.
No, McDermott doesn't want to hear it.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turn the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. So I'm very comfortable in that situation.
Yeah. Take that, Bill Belichick. Well, you're not as smart as everybody says you are.
Well, let me tell you, McDermott, the Bill Burr-looking
Bill Burr.
Let me tell you something, Bill. Don't you worry about it.
It's not as funny. He does have a lot of Bill Burr in him.
You get the job done and beat the Patriots.
Right. The funny part is Bill Belichick doesn't care.
No, we don't give a
no.
damn.
You know, people could throw bouquets at him all day. He does not care about you. He cares about himself. And his football team, period. That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's the most interesting part about that soundbite? Sean McDermott doesn't even realize it. I understand it was a bad loss for them in that situation. But while he's talking about let's not give Belichick all the credit in the world, he lays out exactly Bill Belichick's first point is, as a football team, don't beat yourself. Guess what the Buffalo Bills did yesterday?
Beat themselves.
That's right.
So and you can still, get mad.
If they make that field goal late in the game, and they got the ball back, they're kicking a field goal to win the game.
But, what hash mark were they on? In a game where the wind was whipping around at 50 miles an hour. They were on the wrong hash.
The wrong hash.
If they had gotten to the right hash on third down.
Matt Nagy just called to make the kick.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's easier said than done. Guess what? Bill Belichick coaches his team in a windy game knowing that on third down they're unlikely to convert. Guess what? If it's an incomplete pass, I want you on the right hash where our kicker has a better chance of making the field goal.
Then after the game, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde get grilled by a Buffalo writer.
Over 40 years since a team has won a game running that two times in a game, passing that two times. Does that embarrass you?
I mean, what kind
Boy,
of question?
Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you of calling it.
All right. I think we keep 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
And then they texted him both later that evening, that writer, and just said, don't ever do that again.
Well, don't ever do what again? I mean, it's a writer asking a question.
So I'm clear. The question was, are you embarrassed by the way they ran the football down your throat?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, and I get their response. Dude, we gave up 14 points.
They
gave up 14.
You're a moth in the camera light. How would you answer that? You were always available.
Yeah, I would have pointed out the basic facts. You know, they did what they did. They probably only averaged, if I had to guess, ran the ball 46 times. They probably averaged 4 yards a rush.
About four. If you take out the Harris touchdown run, they averaged like 3.4 yards a carry. Now, you can't take it out. I get it.
No,
but Micah Hyde and Poyer are probably like, dude, we gave up 14 points.
We went as a team. We lost as a team today. We gave up too many. We didn't score enough.
John, did you feel embarrassed in that? I mean, as they surround your locker.
I wouldn't have tried to embarrass you as the reporter. You know, those guys were obviously a tad bit upset. And I think they were being mocked by others, too. Hold on. They were being mocked by others. I think there are other reporters that were mocking the question, too.
Yeah, I heard laughter.
Did you hear that? Laughter? Yeah. I think there was also some people, come on. What are you doing? I think that was out there, too. So the whole tenor of the question was a little bit off. But then you just throw out a football answer. Then you pull them aside later on and just say, dude, what are you doing? What do you mean? Were we embarrassed? No, we're not embarrassed.
The whole tenor of the post game was awkward because it was
contentious.
It was ugly. I mean, 14-10, and those kind of conditions, it was just
and
ugly. All of it. Right.
And then McDermott was asked about Brian Daboll.
With Brian Daboll, is he doing a good enough job to set this off and have success?
Well, I didn't think honestly we took advantage of opportunities tonight. I really didn't. I mean, the ball's at the 40-yard line. You know, we're 1-for-4 in the red zone, so we got to figure that part of it out.
So ooh, pressure.
Now that was a calm question. Calm answer. It wasn't a problem.
And then Bears fans are tweeting, all right, scratch Daboll.
No, don't scratch Daboll.
No.
Like a week ago, he said it's a guy everyone wanted.
No. Don't scratch Daboll.
But let me tell you something. That's major. It's Buffalo, but it's strong media there. They're asking the fan questions, aren't they? I mean, that's a tough one.
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah, I mean, calling out Daboll.
What are we doing here, bro?
When was the last time a Chicago reporter asked Nagy, do you think Desai's the right guy for the job? Is Desai getting the job done? You're not asking that.
Didn't they used to blast Greg Landry here?
Yes.
When Greg Landry was the coach? that was back when Don Pearson and Bernie Lincecum
those are men's there.
The old guard.
That's right.
Well, I'm trying to remember when they didn't. Ron Turner. Didn't they chase Ron Turner out of town here?
How about John Shoup?
The best guy they chased out of town was Wonstadt. For some reason or another, him and his flimsy mustache keep sticking around.
You're better than that.
John. The longer I stick around, the better I
Jimmy
was.
Jimmy did it in Dallas.
Jeez.
Wally's a great dude.
The longer I'm around, the better I am. I'm going to tell you.
What'd you have, a cup of coffee with him?
More than that. Come on. Dinners.
I work with him. He's actually a pretty good analyst, Wani. I was always stunned when he started doing Fox. I'm like, Wani's actually pretty good.
He's good.
He's really good.
He's good. Oh, he's very good.
And the nicest human being in the world.
And 50 cents gets you two cups.
Listen, you guys give him his due. He was the defensive coordinator just like Waddle on that 85 Bears team. I don't think that's right. I don't think you guys remember that.
Good call. I beg your pardon.
Buddy who? Good call.
You're right about that.
What did it take him? 4 years to destroy the Bears?
Well, it wasn't all him.
4 years?
Wasn't just one.
He's a transitional coach. You know that after Ditka, right? You knew that
whoever
the next guy was, you had to overhaul that whole team.
Can you say John Roper?
I understand.
Over and over again. Can you?
How'd you like to be the guy that's got to replace Belichick someday? Maybe that's McDaniels.
It's North.
I think that's why he doesn't want to leave. I think McDaniels will stick around
there.
He
might.
And take over.
That's like Mike North in 93 going after Mike McCaskey. Hey, how could you get rid of that Van Horn? He's been great for the team. Well, say something else really silly. Woof, woof, woof. he was just like,
That's great.
He's going after him, right?
That's great.
Because everybody didn't want to see the old 85 Bears. But you had to turn that team over, right?
At some point, You got to phase them all out.
Wani cut my brother.
Yeah.
That's right.
Waddle ultimately, too, didn't he?
Wani can rot.
Yeah.
How about that, Cap? Your thoughts? Thoughts?
Look, I get John's
your thoughts.
Vehement defense.
John Chancellor.
It's blood.
I don't have a defense of anything. I'm on the attack. I'm not defending anybody.
He's attacking.
I'm on the attack.
He's an attack dog. I get it.
Sick of a dog. I'm a human being.
But if you were around him, you'd like him.
Yeah. In the proverbial sense.
Yeah.
It's like Foxy. If you're on Foxy. You know, Foxy is the Bears coach. Good Lord in heaven. You hang out with Foxy. He's actually a pretty fun guy.
He is.
I don't know who's worse, him or Tony Weiss.
Oh!
Gotta be Tony.
Shout out to Tony Weiss, too.
Out of nowhere.
Oh!
Tony takes the shot.
It's Mac's guy.
Wow.
Boy, speaking of Mac, when we were out in San Diego for the Super Bowl, you should have seen the triple Lindy that he did trying to get to Wani. I never seen a guy do so much to get to him.
Wow. How about that?
Mac was over there petting his leg. I'm like, geez. We get it. He's your guy. My heavens.
Oh, my God.
But you can understand the bitterness with Wonstadt, right? I mean, he replaced a legend. You understand that,
right? Oh, man, that's hard.
I get it.
Yeah. It was always going to be the next guy anyway. That team was in transition. It was old. bad.
It's but like they, replacing Wooden. How did that work out?
Good luck.
But they did get to a playoff with Wanastee.
They won a playoff game with Wanastee.
That's right.
94,
beat
right?
the Vikings, yeah.
That's the last road playoff game that the Chicago Bears have won.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
It's a long time, Carm. And I believe they had a star wide receiver on that team.
Tommy Waddle.
Named Tom Waddle.
Here comes Tommy Waddle. How many playoff games have they won since
Who
then?
Who was
Five?
The starting quarterback in that
Curtis
game?
Conway.
I want to say Steve Walsh. Steve Walsh is the correct answer.
Good old number four, Steve Walsh.
Steve Walsh.
That's David Craig.
No, not David.
That's 17.
Stop it. Yeah, that was 17.
Yeah, small hands.
Yes. He's small got hand. Like those Jared Goff hands.
Small gloves.
Oh, would you good. See? Do you see the video of Jared Goff's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
No,
Jerry, who?
They showed her. She's a swimsuit model, and she was on a shoot somewhere beautiful, warm on a beach.
Sure.
They showed her the video. There's video of them telling her he just threw a touchdown pass at the gun. They just won.
She's like,
"What? Are you serious? It's their first dude." It's the best video you will see all week. I
was
promise.
She jumping,
dude? It's unbelievable. And everything I ever thought about Jared Goff changed when I saw that video yesterday. I'm like, you know what? Good Jared Goff, good for you, man.
He's winning in that spot.
He
huh?
is winning like you can't imagine. And he's laughing at all of us.
Right.
Well, listen. God bless you, Jared Goff.
Not only that, but he got his contract from LA, which is a big mistake.
I've got 100 and some million and her.
Dude, I'm telling you, the video is
Cleveland's got to avoid the same mistake.
I got five more weeks in Detroit and I'm out of here.
It's an interesting point, Yerk, because you have to come up with a plan. Post Baker, if you're going to let him go, what's your play? Because otherwise, you're right back where you started.
And that's where these teams get in trouble because they feel like, oh, well, what are we going to do? Whatever you do, don't sign Baker Mayfield.
But if you're going to dedicate $45 million to your quarterback, what are you going to do elsewhere? And the story came out that next year's salary cap is going to be $208
million. Mm-hmm.
So
2022's cap?
2022 cap.
And what is the number right now, did you say?
Million. It's like 190, 188. So it'll be $208 million. Still, $45 million going to your quarterback. So a lot of money going to a quarterback, especially if you don't know if he's the man.
But have a plan. But if you don't have Baker, have someone that can still be able to run that offense. Now, if you're going backwards, you know, at the quarterback spot, then the Browns, that whole thing's going to blow up, right?
It's hard to judge Baker, though, now.
He's
you got to
really
judge
hurt.
Him when he was healthy. He's not the same player that he was before.
Yeah.
So are you going backwards if you have a healthy quarterback in there as opposed to one that's injured?
I don't know. I would not.
And he's palatable at the number he's making.
Sure. It's when you got to pay him.
He's not palatable. McNown to come out of retirement.
He is not palatable at $45
million. All the designer clothes you want to wear.
I don't know what they're going to do. That's their problem.
I have not. Designer clothes and Cade McNown?
Yeah, his wife is a stylist for a very wealthy socialite. And
so
she's
just walking around in the clothes?
She's been stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars of the lady's gear and putting it online.
Wow.
She was busted.
Well, listen, she's generating some revenue for herself.
Kate didn't make a whole heck of a lot.
Well, Kate made enough. He made enough.
Not really. I mean, what could Kate have made?
You know, that's when you're the assistant or you're the stylist in that situation. You just say, she's got too much.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a little bit of this. I'm going to sell it.
You got Bulls talk today?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
I mean,
we're
going to
Io.
You should see the tease, man. We're talking Io all day, kid.
Love Io. Love Io.
Our guy, Io Tiramisu.
Yeah.
Love Io.
All day.
That's our guy. A little bit of nonstop talk.
Okay.
About Bulls.
All right.
We're excited. 56 victories they're trending to.
They're trending to 56
wins. Means I got
to
buy him a sandwich, you know
Over
that?
50, I win. Or actually, 50, I win. Or 49
right.
and a half is the
49
over-under.
And a half.
So if you
under.
Win, what do you get?
Sandwich.
Sandwich.
Oh, man, you should make him make that lunch that you've been asking for. The homemade
Karn
stuff.
Karn doesn't care.
First of all, I bought him sandwiches
mac
yesterday.
Mac and cheese and shrimp. It was, oh, my. Listen, you paid off a wager you lost.
Okay, but you...
Well, don't act like you bought. You paid off a wager you lost.
But I mean...
When you pay the wager that was lost, it's not like I'm going to do back hand flips. Yeah, thank
he
you.
Also makes it sound like it's
thank
some
dish. Thank you for paying off
made.
Your like, bet that you're a loser on.
My
that,
wife, one time, 10 years ago, made mac and cheese, shrimp mac and cheese. One time. And like, oh, why don't you make it? I don't think we've ever made it again. I don't know. I'm not going to go out of my way to make you shrimp mac and cheese.
It's the greatest dish I've eaten in my lifetime. I've told you this over and over again. If you at all cared about me as a partner, you would have found a way to replicate that.
All the other stuff I've brought in for him and like nothing. I don't make shrimp mac and cheese. Do you want me to
so
make you
good.
Regular mac and cheese?
It's
I'll
so
make you
good,
mac and cheese.
Do you know how good that meal was that day?
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. And the day later, the 2 days later that you brought it in,
all the flavors savored into there,
it
man.
All
it all congealed into one. It was the best dish I've ever eaten in my life.
Mac and cheese the
and
next day is good.
And I've eaten at some of the finest restaurants in my lifetime.
Yeah. Come, you feel that Yurko reciprocates?
No.
Absolutely.
He brings in Roper Vieja when he makes
guys, Operation.
He brings in John Roper, what?
Yeah, he brings in John Roper.
Operation Reciprocity
no, Richard comes
is in order. I'm one of the greatest givers in the world.
I don't know about that, but
we bring the
Ropa Vieja is
the
good.
Crushed grape we drink in here, uh-huh. The wine. We have a good time. A great Chianti Classico.
Oh, see, that's a good marriage.
That is a very good marriage.
Any dish Lozo in
reheated with cheese is always good, though. Malnati's is always the best the second day.
Can I tell you this?
It's amazing.
You know,
it's always the best out of the fridge cold. Reheated. No, I'll eat cold pizza, that's but I'd much time. Rather reheat like a slice of leftover Malnati's deep dish. I'll throw in the oven, and it's the best.
Not in the micro.
No, oven. It's like better than it was the day before. It's crazy.
Yes.
The best.
Yes.
Oh,
the flavors already seeped in there after a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's even better I'm telling the next you. Day. I agree with that.
I am telling you. Do you know, I'm going to bring in some moonshine this week.
Moonshine?
Yeah, a lot of the Croatians have made their, they crushed their grapes. No, Šljivovice, Lozanac.
Lozanac.
The byproduct of the wine. They made the wine.
Nuts? What did you say?
I did not say.
Hey, it's Lou Canellas.
Lozanac.
Lozanac.
Who's nuts are we talking about?
So listen, they've had their wine. They've made their wine.
This is nuts.
They made their wine for
Jim
the year.
Miller, tell
and the byproduct is grappa. Your grappa, my Lozanac.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Oh, it's good stuff.
The grabber. Yep.
The grabber. Yeah.
I'm going to bring in a bottle tomorrow. We can enjoy it tomorrow.
All right, well, cheers for the holidays.
A botsa. We'll bring a botsa in tomorrow.
Could you get
a bottle.
The bottle, so can you put it like
I just can't believe how selfish he is, you know? And then he wants to be thanked because he lost the bet.
I don't want to be thanked, but you're like,
when you lose a bet, you lose a bet, you pay the wager.
When you were just saying, I never get you anything.
I just...
Right, the mortgage company has to call. Hey, thanks for paying your mortgage.
I got you a sandwich yesterday.
I love you, kid. I don't care what these guys say about you. You're number one in my book.
I mean,
kick us out, Yerk.
Time to go. Me and Carmen got to settle things.
All right. We're out of here.
Back
tomorrow. Honey, have already. A great day, kid.
I just wish for a marriage like Carmen and Yurko.
But they all
just
say.
One day you and I will have that marriage.
Someday.
Someday we'll have that kind of marriage.
We're out of here. See you tomorrow.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Sweep a season series from the Denver Nuggets. I mean, the Bulls are impressive. We'll spend a lot of time talking about them today. Much more impressive than anyone thought.
Well, and early on, it was the quality of win that people were questioning. Wait till they start playing
anymore.
A tougher schedule. They beat the Knicks twice this year, too, didn't they?
They've played the Knicks three times, right?
They beat them
and they're 2-1 against the Knicks.
2-1 against the Knicks.
Look, they split a back to back in LA, and I get it. At the time, LeBron wasn't playing. That Laker team was a little banged up. Kawhi's probably not going to play all year for the Clippers. The Clippers are still decent. They swept a back to back in LA against the Lakers and Clippers. They swept New York last weekend. They beat the Knicks and a good Nets team. A Nets team that is still favored to win the title, by the way, if you can believe that. You can. Of course you can.
I can. Yeah.
You know why. They're 3-1. They're the favorite.
They've got three guys on that team.
Well, they got two. One's not going to play. One
of the three, yeah.
They swept New York over the weekend. They swept the Nuggets this year. And they're just okay. They're about a 500 team right now. Joker didn't play in the game out there in Denver. I don't know, the quality of win is good. I think you're right. They beat they put a hurting on the Hornets, decent basketball team, a couple of weeks ago. The quality of win is good, Yerk. You're right. I mean,
early on too, they beat Detroit. So the question was, all right, you beat Detroit twice,
yeah, right?
All right, so but I think they've answered those questions.
Yeah.
I think they've been able to answer it. Now you're, what, 25% of the way through the year now? Is that where you're at? A little past. You're
little
past that, right? 20-some-odd games, 24, 23.
25 games now, right. I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got know what you are now. You've got a pretty good idea of what the hell you are. You know what the Bulls are. The Bulls are a pretty damn good team.
You're a team trending for 56 victories. I go back to this a lot because I do think it's important. When a team like just destroys what the preseason market was like, that, you know, it Vegas doesn't normally miss by like 16 games. It doesn't happen a lot. You know what I mean? And they're going to end up missing badly on the Bulls, it looks like, which is great. I mean, it gives us something to really look forward to through the course of the winter. What's the ceiling here? I mean,
The ceiling is, I don't care if they get 50 or 60 wins. The ceiling is, what are you going to do in the playoffs?
That's what I mean. Like,
the number of wins, as long as it's over the number that everybody gambled on, which is 43.5.
43.
As long as it's over that, now all that matters in the ceiling and what we will judge this team on, now that we know you got a good team, is what they do in the playoffs.
Yeah, where can this team really max out? I mean, I think that's the thing we're going to spend the next few months talking about. You know, can they actually beat Milwaukee in a seven-game series? Can you win four? Can you beat the Nets? You know, will Kyrie play it all this year? I don't think he will. I mean, who knows, I guess. You never know
with Kyrie, right? Right. And you don't know.
And even if he does come back at some point, don't you feel like Kyrie's always one weird step from being, oh, that's it, he just popped his calf or his knee or his ankle, right? I mean, it's
anything.
I don't know.
He's got plantar fasciitis this week. I mean, yeah, it's something. Right. It could be anything.
You know, those are, can they, here's the one thing where the Bulls, I think, are, you know, the one thing maybe we know and we might learn as they get deeper in the season and they play Milwaukee is the Bulls haven't played Milwaukee yet, have they? I don't think they have.
I think they did once.
Did they once?
I think they've got one game against Milwaukee.
Okay. Why am I struggling to remember that game?
They beat Milwaukee early when Milwaukee was like 3-5. Remember?
Okay. All right.
When they struggled out of the gate, Milwaukee did.
I'm struggling to remember that game. I feel like they haven't played Milwaukee yet. Here's what I do remember. Them struggling against Embiid and losing back-to-back games against the Sixers.
That's right.
What's it going to be like in a series if you have to, you know, do they have an answer for Embiid? Do they have an answer for Giannis in Milwaukee? And I don't think they...
I don't think they played Milwaukee.
I don't think they've played Milwaukee yet.
It looks like the first game... I just pulled it up here.
Boy, I can't wait for that. That's going to be good. When's the first game?
Against the Bucks is a while away still.
Wow, is it really?
Yeah, Friday, January 21st at Milwaukee.
Whoa, really?
It's a big one.
They go that long without playing Milwaukee.
Yeah, when's our first game?
So they wanted maybe somebody saw this at the league office. Yeah. They wanted a couple late second half of the season Bulls and Bucks games. I like that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to play four games against Milwaukee.
They host Milwaukee on Friday, March 4th.
Nice.
They are then back in Milwaukee Tuesday, March 22nd.
Somebody saw it coming.
And then Tuesday, April 5th.
Look at that. And
right now, scheduled for NBA TV. That's at the UC.
Bulls and Bucks, baby. When are we first going to a game, Yurko? Good question.
Yeah. What are we doing with a show trip?
I would like to go to a game.
And Randy Merkin and Jeff Meller.
And JR?
They play...
JR. Is JR here too now?
Yeah, well, JR's here on our show.
Ooh, what about Wednesday, December 29th against Atlanta? See, what do you guys think?
Well, I think that's a good day.
Trey?
You said JR's on our show right now. Where's he at?
No, I mean, JR's upstairs. He's upstairs.
He's under the desk somewhere?
No, he's upstairs.
I mean, what's going on?
He's upstairs.
Oh, he's upstairs. I got you. All right. I figured it out now. Yeah, what day is that again?
That's Wednesday. December 9th. They host Atlanta. We can see Trey.
They've got Dallas Sunday, January 9th. That's Sunday. That's probably the last Sunday of the NFL season.
Yeah, I want to go during the regular.
That is the last Sunday of the NFL season.
Not a weekend. I like to go during the week.
Yeah, that's at Dallas. Anyway, never mind.
They've already hosted Dallas.
Oh, Brooklyn Nets, January 12th.
Car, make a call.
There you go.
Brooklyn Nets, Wednesday, January 12th.
Wednesday. That's a good day for me.
That's an 8 o'clock tip, though. FYI.
Yeah, I love it. That's
a 9 o'clock tip.
Why not?
What? Chicago?
Late,
here?
Carm. Will you meet for dinner at 6?
It says 9 o'clock. This is
ESPN game.
That's got to be Eastern, Carm.
No, it says 9 o'clock. This isn't Central time.
That's a featured game, guys. 9 o'clock.
It is. It's 9 Central.
You know why? It's because it's the ESPN game. It's the second ESPN game.
That's
right. Let's do that.
9 o'clock? I can't go to a 9 o'clock tip-off. I
just turned 45.
What? The Nets.
You go home and take a nap like the good kid does.
9 o'clock.
We're talking about the Nets.
Well, you know what? You're right, Carmen. You do have to be up early in the morning for that 7 a.m. Oh, wait. That's Cap and Hoodie and the show that I work.
Oh, see?
9 o'clock.
He's willing to go.
Well, that seems late, guys. All right. You want to go 9 o'clock game?
I think so.
How about on? I'm going to be sleeping.
February 1st against the Magic. We can see Wendell Carter come back.
Magic.
How about we take a listener, too?
Merkin needs to have his head examined.
You know a listener would be wanting to go with us. Let's go see the middle of the fray.
Why would we not go see the Nets?
Show trip. Let's plan it.
Nets.
Wednesday, January 12th.
Wednesday, January 12th.
9 o'clock tip.
I'm excited. Our show. I don't want Sylvie, you know, putting his ugly head in this thing.
That Friday they play Golden State.
You understand?
What about that Friday night?
Friday is Prince Spaghetti Day for me.
All right. Yeah. Actually, I think Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti
Usually
Day.
Usually it is, yes. But for me, it's Friday.
Connor, did you have that growing up? Did you have Prince? No.
No.
Do you guys look down on Prince Spaghetti?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Hate to be a snob.
Well,
okay.
Let me
if it's
ask
not
you a question.
Garden, Carm's not
right, right, but yeah. Hold on now, Carm. I mean, do you make your fresh pasta at the house?
No.
Do you guys do that? Or
I mean, sometimes, but so, no.
Okay, but what is your preferred pasta of choice if it comes out of a box?
I like Barilla's good.
Barilla?
Diceco's good.
Carm, do you cut your the garlic with a razor blade, or do
no.
you?
No. Okay. Just a small knife. A small paring knife. That's it. You're a funny guy. Funny guy over here. Oh, right, we'll find a Bulls game to go.
2-14 Golden State.
I do put onions.
You want to do the
that's
Golden
what
State?
I'm saying. I mean, Friday night against the Warriors.
That's my birthday, boys.
Dude.
Oh, happy birthday. That almost makes
Come
it,
on.
It makes sense.
What,
now.
Is Clay going to be back by then?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
I mean,
Steph Curry. Come on, let's go see Steph.
That could be a preview, Carm.
I'm trying
preview
to think
of the
I,
NBA championship.
Have I seen Steph live? I'm trying to think if I have.
I think you I said you took the kids one time.
To see Steph?
I think so. You said that.
I'm Can we even get tickets to that game?
Well,
we, get a
we
box.
Know some people.
We know some people. Maybe we get
we'll
a box.
Call Wennington. Ask him for his tickets.
You know how hard it is to get Warriors tickets?
It's a very hard. I'm going to call Wennington now and be like, hey, listen, not for nothing. The Bulls are so much fun, though. We do want to spend
they
some
are.
Time talking about it.
Yes.
I want to talk more about DeMar DeRozan. I know he's in health and safety protocol right now, but like, we've got to start to ask ourselves, like, where'd this come? And like, he's always been good, but like right. this? What is this? What is this fourth quarter stuff? And is this really sustainable? And it sure seems like it is, because it's not been a game or two or three or 10. It's kind of fascinating to watch like the mission he seems to be on individually right now and to help this team. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. We'll talk about the Monday Nighter last night. A lot of people buzzing about that one. Bears-Packers week. Bears are a double-digit underdog going into Green Bay in Week 14. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Have moved into a virtual tie with the Brooklyn Nets atop the Eastern Conference. It's 17-8. And as Yurko pointed out earlier this week, the Chicago Bulls have the best scoring differential in the NBA at nearly 5 points per game. How about that? Or, sorry, in the
in
Eastern
the
Conference.
Eastern Conference.
Yes,
in the Eastern there's Conference. Three teams in the Western Conference that are better than that.
There are. The Warriors, the Suns, and the Jazz are all better. What do you think the Bulls are to win the title right now?
Right now, the Bulls to win the title, I would say they'd be going off at about the seventh favorite, which would put them at about 14-1.
They're 32-1 still, believe it or not.
Oh,
you're,
boy.
You're not too far off about roughly being the seventh, eighth favorite, give
right.
or take.
Yep.
Yeah, the gap gets big after you get the Suns at 10-1. Nets, Warriors, Bucks, Jazz, Suns, Heat, still a little bit of a shorter price than the Bulls. But the Bulls were like 100 to 1 at the beginning of the season.
I wonder if somebody's got a ticket. We put on prop swap.
Oh, sure, I think there are. I think Luke Pergandy has told us that there are some Bulls tickets. Zach LaVine is 80-1 for MVP. DeMar DeRozan is 100-1 for MVP. Neither is going to win the MVP award, but together they are playing beautiful music. They really are. I don't know where this DeMar DeRozan came from. Like, we've watched DeMar DeRozan play for a long time. He was always good in Toronto.
Yeah.
He and Kyle Lowry were always good, but there was always sort of a limit on how good that team really was ever going to be. And I remember we used to say it all the time. Like, the Raptors will have a 50-win season, but, you know, we'd be like, well, they can't compete for a title with those guys. They just can't. And I think they finally realized that. That's why they traded DeMar DeRozan. I don't think that ever sat well with him. Sure enough, the next year with Kawhi Leonard, they did win the title. I don't know when this DeMar DeRozan arrived where it's, now I'm just going to dominate fourth quarters. I don't remember this.
We have a piece of sound.
Yeah, I'm going to play that.
Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer was on Bill Simmons' podcast yesterday, and I think O'Connor was laying it out that his years in San Antonio.
Is that what it is?
He learned under Pop. And even though it was, you know, in a bit of an anonymity because the Spurs weren't winning like we're used to seeing, It doesn't mean Pop's still not a great head coach.
Like, did Pop teach him how to be this great, like, fourth quarter playmaker? I mean, that's what we see now. All right,
let's break it down.
This was from Simmons' podcast yesterday with Kevin O'Connor talking about DeRozan, how good he's been.
If you did the All-NBA, I mean, it's freaking ridiculous to even bring it up, but if you did the All-NBA right now, I think DeRozan would be the first team guard for me. The stuff he's doing, he's definitely gone up a level. And the Toronto fans are like, no, he did this in 2017. He averaged 27 a game. But I just feel like from a decision-making standpoint, he's on another plane IQ-wise.
100%.
That's what he did to Brooklyn. I was so impressed. He went toe-to-toe with Harden and Durant and did whatever he wanted in the fourth quarter. It was great.
Bill, he became such a better player in San Antonio.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like his last year in Toronto, to Raptors fans' point, that's the year he started to figure it out as a playmaker.
Yeah.
But then over 3 years running the point for San Antonio, he really mastered the mid-range. And that's made him a better shooter because he's getting more open opportunities for mid-range. He's not taking and forcing as many shots and because he's making smart passes. It's crazy how he gets traded for Kawhi Leonard and Toronto wins the championship. But then meanwhile, DeRozan gets better. And now he's on a team that actually has another chance right here to win a championship in the Bulls because they do have a shot. Do you agree there, Bill? The Bulls are in this, in that group of teams that can win it all.
I 100,000% agree that they have a shot. I think they need some depth somewhere, which I'm sure they'll get. There might be a buyout guy for them, too. The shocker for me is Donovan. I was actually arguing with somebody about this weekend. I think Donovan's been the best coach in the league this year. And you think about, he goes to OKC, and he's basically stuck with Westbrook all those years, right? The hardest guy to coach of the last decade, basically. And then inherits that Chicago team last year that was a mess. The stuff, they're just locked in. And especially in close games, I love all the decisions they make. They always have the right guys in the right spots. The right guys are playing. And he seems to me like I think he's the best coach that I've seen in the first 20 games.
A couple of very respected NBA voices with some high praise for DeRozan and the Bulls as a legitimate group of seven, let's say, that could win a title this year. And the DeRozan stuff, I think, and Simmons summed that up pretty well. Like, I've been saying this here for the last couple of weeks. Like, when did this happen? And maybe it is as simple as what Meller just said. He went down to San Antonio, and how much did we really watch San Antonio the last couple of years? They missed the playoffs, right?
Right.
In two of those 3 years,
they're not sexy.
They're well, they've never really been sexy.
They were more known, and they were making headlines because they had a female assistant coach, right?
Because I don't know about that. Maybe
no. But I'm talking about guys. She was making headlines. It's not a bad thing. The point was the basketball.
No,
was not the featured story down there.
They kind of were an afterthought the last couple years. It's true, and maybe we just didn't pay close enough attention. But all of a sudden, DeMar, like, how does a player who was a good player, who was an all-star, and, you know, who was a good scorer, he was a very good player.
Take the next step.
How in his 30s does he start to go, like, next level? And as a facilitator is where you're seeing it. In the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, DeMar DeRozan knows either, there's two things that are happening. He's either scoring when he knows he can, or he's facilitating when teams are saying, all right, he's killing us again. We got to get the ball out of his hands. Like, all of a sudden, he's making every right decision, and he's become like this. He's the best player in the NBA in the fourth quarter this year. That's an unassailable fact.
I can buy Kevin O'Connor's explanation there because partially, all of a sudden, the Spurs are not on national television as much because Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker are all retired, and the Spurs, at best, were like fighting for an 8 seed for a couple years when DeRozan was the, and then the last year, they were a non-factor.
They missed the playoffs last year. Yeah. Right? They didn't even make the play-in.
All of a sudden, they're paying, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And if you like me, a lot of times, will kind of look around the league, and if you're not watching the team as closely, you start looking at the stats, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, DeRozan, as O'Connor pointed out, he's playing more of a point guard role in San Antonio, so his statistics in terms of scoring are down. He went from like a 27-point-per-game score
Down to 21.
Yeah, and so you're like, oh, he's hitting his early 30s. He's in the decline. But if you're not watching it, and then all of a sudden you see him show up here, and you're like, my God, I didn't know he had this left.
It's been stunning. Like, it is, honestly, it's got to be, and we're a little biased. It's happening here. We're watching it every night. Like, but I can't imagine there are too many other stories around the NBA that are so, like, eye-poppingly awesome in a way where you go, this is a huge surprise. Like, Steph being Steph again, and we saw glimpses of this last year. Once he was, like, fully kind of recovered, and as the season went on, especially in the second half last year.
And then you get your conditioning back, like, your basketball conditioning that you need.
Like, Steph had a stretch last year, if people remember, right? Wasn't this last year, Mellor, like, post-All-Star break, where he had, like, a three-week stretch where Steph was averaging, like, 42 a game? Like, so we started seeing it last year, and now you're like, okay, Steph's pretty awesome again. He's the MVP front-runner. And so that's happened, but I wouldn't say we're blindsided or floored by that. No, it's Steph, and he was showing glimpses of this as the season went on last year, and they almost made the playoffs. Like, this is so out of, like, where did it come from exactly? And most people panned the Bulls' acquisition of DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
And maybe we just weren't paying close enough attention to what happened in San Antonio and DeMar DeRozan, playmaker. Yeah, he's always been a good offensive player and a scorer, and now it's like, here's DeMar DeRozan, the playmaker.
And is it everything that's around him now?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a better team than he had in San Antonio around him. You're right. I mean, I think he and Zach make a nice couple.
Nice tandem. I think Io's been able to come in as a second-round draft choice and has been a very pleasant surprise.
Tell me about it.
And your guy Ball has come in here.
Yeah. Like,
Vooch, when they got Vooch, remember it was Vooch in the middle and Vooch and Zach? Will those two be able to be enough to get things done? But
are they too familiar to what Toronto was all those great years, though, when it was Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and they weren't quite good enough? Yeah, they'll win 52, but they couldn't really navigate four rounds of the playoffs. Or are they better? Like, are Zach and DeMar together better than Lowry and as DeMar far as, ever were? Like, that's the question we still have to start asking.
As far as depth goes right now, when you take a look at it, I mean, can they? They're 9-10 deep, aren't they? I mean, because they've had to be.
Boy, the Patrick Williams thing sucks. Like, if he can come back at some point.
Right.
We're hoping the timeline's April, right?
I know, but what's he getting?
What's he going to be in April?
What's he going to be with a
defensive guy?
Yes. Like, I don't need Patrick Williams to come out and score. Just be a stopper.
Defensive guy, yes.
That's true.
So if he can just do that, give you the athletic specimen that he is on the court and be a defensive stopper, that may be all they need.
But the question is, how long did it take for the Bulls to get this thing done? 1 year.
I know.
Right?
One year?
Yeah. Was it? When did AK get here?
Remember, it was spring of 2020 when Jerry, you know, change the whole structure. AK, it was late spring, early summer, wasn't it, that AK got the job?
It was one season. They watched for half a year.
You're right.
They made their trades, made their decisions on the players they had, made their trades. They had the offseason.
Yeah,
made their acquisitions. You're literally talking about 14 months.
It's right? Good to,
16 months is all it took to turn the whole damn thing around.
All right, but we want to take some Bulls calls, and if you want to chime in on all this, like the shocking parts of this team, the pleasant surprises, what are they ultimately, too? I mean, all of a sudden, is this like the most serious championship contender I mean, certainly it is since Derek, but is it, like, you know, to what level are you allowing yourself to believe, this team could pull a Phoenix and get to the final, you know, or something like that? 312-332-3776. We'll be right back. All right, Bulls calls here in a second. We're racking our brains trying to figure out who's the last defensive player to get invited to the Heisman.
Gordy Lockbaum.
Because, you know, Aiden Hutchinson got the invite. He's one of the four finalists. That's fantastic.
That's the kid from Michigan.
That's a kid from Michigan. Yeah. And we're racking our brains like, who are we missing? Like, there's got to be an obvious one, I think, in recent years, maybe. I don't know. I can't think of the last defensive player that would have been invited for
the
ceremony.
It wasn't the Notre Dame kid that had the girlfriend.
For Downtown Athletic Club. Oh, that's a good call.
Was he there?
A bad call.
Was he there?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I'm throwing a guess out. If anybody knows.
Clowney.
Yeah, Mellor had a good guess. He said Jadeveon Clowney. He was a sensation.
One hit against Michigan.
Jadeveon's still a pretty good player.
One hit against Michigan, though, put him on the map.
It was a New Year's Day bowl game.
Now that would have been targeting, and he would have been penalized for that. One more of them would have got him out of the game.
So, if you know off the top of your head, let us know, because we're over here, the four of us. Like, wait, who would have been the last defensive guy? 312-332-ESPN. Here's Dom in the city talking Bulls. What up, Dom?
Hey, love the show, guys.
Thanks, man.
Just want to chime in about DeRozan. So the last 3 years in San Antonio, Jonte Murray and Derek White were constantly injured, so he was often playing the point guard position. Like last season, he averaged 7 assists per game. The year before that, 5.2, and his first year was like 6.1. Mm. So he's nothing new to playmaking for him.
It's just amazing.
I mean, you know.
He's like that he's morphed into like this playmaker, you know, like it's, and especially late in games, he just all of a sudden is like, oh yeah, give it to DeMar. He knows what to do with the ball. And, you know, he went from just being sort of an athletic scorer to early in his career and an all-star, a very good player, to this. It's incredible, Dom.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing like with Kawhi, you know, his first couple of years in San Antonio, he was just being a, you know, defender and kind of shooter occasionally. But then his final 2 years, he's making all the plays with the balls, all the right decisions.
Yeah.
So Popovich really installs that kind of confidence in order to run a team down the stretch.
I guess that's the common denominator, right? You get these guys are coming in, they're learning, they learn under Pop and serves them well. Dom, thanks, man.
Karma, real quickly, looks like 2012. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. Manti Te'o finished runner-up.
Yurko, excellent.
And then,
and so Manti was the last one?
Yeah, great call, like someone mentioned Ndamukong Suh, but that was long before Manti Te'o. And you know who finished third that year? I've never even heard of this guy.
Who?
Colin Klein, quarterback from Kansas State.
Kind of remember him, vaguely. Not really. Yeah, good Yurko. Excellent call. Look at you. All things college football. Jay is in San Antonio. He probably knows a thing or two about DeMar since he watched in the last 3 years. What up, Jay?
Hi, guys. I love your show. I'm originally from Chicago, but I moved down here 20 years ago. And one thing I've learned about Pop coaching is that he gets the most out of every player. He teaches team basketball and share the ball. So he learned to handle the ball a lot, especially with all the injuries and LaMarcus Aldridge and things like that. So he's a team player. That's what I like about him. When he was down here, everything was about winning. It wasn't about how many points he got. And so he sacrificed some of that offensive part to play defense and to play, you know, the playmaking and just try to win. And that's what he wants to do all the time. And I couldn't call when the trade was first made. And I saw these people panning the trade, and I didn't understand it because this guy was the ultimate player, the warrior that you want in your foxhole to win that game. And that's why he's doing everything possible now.
Yeah, and it's Jay, excellent points. We appreciate it. I mean, and I think he's still very motivated, even at this age. And, you know, he's accomplished a fair amount in this league. But I think he's extremely motivated. I don't think it ever sat well with him the way he was traded from Toronto. I mean, is DeMar DeRozan, like at the time, was DeMar their best player in franchise history? Probably was, right?
Vince? What about Vince Carter?
Ooh, Vince Carter's a pretty good call.
Vince Sanity.
That's a pretty good call, Miller. I mean, he was certainly in the conversation.
Chris Bosh.
And he was,
I mean, Chris Bosh
was good, but Bosh left after that first contract, remember? When Bosh became a free agent, he was gone.
He still was with them, though. He was a damn good player.
He was very good. I mean, Bosh dragged one of those Toronto teams to the playoffs. And, I mean, he dragged them by himself. He's certainly in the conversation. And then I remember the stories that, like, it hurt him. You know, and I think he remembers the conversations from this offseason. You know, the Bulls are overpaying for DeMar DeRozan. Very motivated, I think, to go out and show everybody, hey, I'm still really good. And it's to the benefit of the Bulls. Hopefully he doesn't miss too many games here. We'll see. Because I don't know that
he's... What is that, 10 days?
I don't know that he's tested positive. He's just in the... Right? That was at least as of last night, they weren't sure if he had tested positive.
Does he need two negative tests then?
I don't know. It's hard to keep all the rules straight. I'm not exactly sure. Hopefully he doesn't miss too much time, and maybe we'll get some more information.
Different rules
today.
For different variants? Same rules for all the variants?
I can't keep track of how it goes with amongst the leagues. I'm not sure.
I'm just asking serious questions because I'm laughing while I'm asking them.
I don't know what the protocols are because I'm just not around there. But hey, I hope it's not too long.
By the way, it looks like Chase Young 2 years ago when Joe Burrow was there.
Ah, there you go. So but Chase Young
finished
was the
fourth, but he was there.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, that's a good
Chase
call.
Young.
Chase Young was unbelievable. A couple years ago. Excellent call. So, we were just speculating and spitballing about
that. So I'm wrong.
Yurko, it was still a great guess on Manti.
Thank you.
Excellent call by you. I didn't even think of Manti. I want to play in one more piece of sound about the Bulls from Simmons' podcast. Again, you got Simmons and O'Connor. I mean, pretty heavy-hitting NBA guys praising the Bulls. We played one
Sandra Day O'Connor?
Yes. I want to play another... Kevin's her son, I think, or nephew. I want to play one more soundbite from his podcast yesterday. We'll continue to talk Bulls. Last night's Monday Nighter, in a weird way, a thrilling game. You know, if a 14-10 game when they barely throw the ball can be thrilling, it was oddly entertaining.
Two playoff teams, probably. Two playoff teams.
Which is good for me. I've got a Patriots to make the playoffs ticket I'm sitting on. I think I'm feeling good about it. 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.